the stakes in the game get higher once you scale up your batch size into commercial volumes. It's important as a professional brewer that you take a professional approach. These are the things you got to take into consideration when you go from pilot batch size to commercial size. G'day brewers, welcome to the Quality Focus Pro Brewers podcast. My name is Hendo and I am a Pro Brewer coach from the Rockstar Brewer Academy. It's great to see you today. We're going to be talking about pilot brewing today. So for all of those brewers out there who are either planning or building a brewery, really super stoked to be talking about something that I love and continue to do, which is pilot brewing. It's an important part of a professional brewer's job. But first, I just want to say, g'day, Adzi. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. How you doing?
Mate, I am doing fantastic. How about yourself?
Mate, working this weekend, but I'm gearing up for the Super Bowl, which is on Monday. So by the time this comes out, the result will have happened. But yeah, I'm super keen. I'm an Arizona Cardinals fan, which won't make sense to many people being from Australia. And
that doesn't make sense to me.
No ties.
Mate, I want to talk about pilot brewing today. You've done a bit of pilot brewing. I've done loads of pilot brewing over the years and that sort of thing. And it's something that's very common in the industry, but sometimes things don't go according to plan. So I had a member of the Rockstar Brewer Academy, Richard. He was from the UK, and he encountered this issue where he was doing a lot of recipe development and pilot brewing of a couple of styles of beer. So he was doing a Munich Helles and a West Coast IPA.
Yep.
And he found that when he was pilot brewing on effectively home brewing equipment. And what was happening was the beers were turning out exactly the way that he wanted on the pilot kit. Usually pilot brewing is on 20 liter, 50 liter system or something like that, or half barrel system. But when he scaled it up to his commercial size brew house, that the beer turned out completely different. And so he approached me. It's not cool because you've done all this work on the recipe development and then not having it turn out the way that you want when you scale it up is a big issue, because the serious thing is that when you're brewing on your big system, there's more money that goes into the raw materials and the inputs, and then what should come out the other end is something that you're going to sell and make money, right? So it's like rolling the dice and having a big bet, big gamble and that sort of thing.
A lot of pilot kits, because there are a lot of breweries that have a dedicated pilot kit that they use, right? But you can't easily just flip a switch and go, oh, we're just going to move that over to there, because there's so many parameters, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So The stakes in the game get higher once you scale up your batch size into commercial volumes. And so it's important as a professional brewer that you take a professional approach, right? So that you do all the work when you're doing the pilot brewing and you're effectively doing that brewing offline, away from the consumer, and away from your commercial brew house, so you can put in the time to dial things in and get the recipe right. But then there's this problem of scaling up and then getting the beer right on a big system where the stakes are much higher.
Why is it such a struggle? Because it's the same beer, right? Where just, is it a ratio problem? Is it an equipment problem? Is it a heating procedure? You love your procedures. So do you know what I mean? Like, which of these factors is the most developmental for scaling your recipe, or what's the big struggle? Why is it such a hard issue?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, so the thing is, right, is that when you take a recipe that's been working on one piece of equipment and then move it to another piece of equipment, you're changing so many of the variables, right? At a fundamental level, I call it the pots and pans differences, okay? Because let's say you're making food and you were making a particular dish you're really good at in your own kitchen, and then you went and moved to either a friend's house or a commercial kitchen or something like that and tried to replicate their recipe, things are different, right? Yeah. You might move from an electric stove to a gas stove, or you might move from to a place where, you know, a lot of the equipment is different. right? In pilot brewing versus commercial brewing, it's exactly the same thing. And so basically some of the challenges that you're going to get is your brew house might be different, right? So for example, you might go from a 20 litre, like I've got a 20 litre Braumeister downstairs and it's electric, and you might move to a steam brew house, right? Another common issue is when like my Braumeister will do step mashing.
Yep.
And maybe you might be moving to a big brew house, which can only do single infusion mashing, right? Electric brew houses tend to have lower hop utilization. Steam brew houses tend to have higher hop utilization because of more vigorous boil. I think I'm talking mostly about wort production there. And so this is where a lot of brewers get come unstuck, because it's not just about the wort production. The tank sizes are different. So you might go from, I ferment in a Firmzilla, and then moving to a cylindro-conical tank, and the different shapes and sizes. You might have short, fat tanks versus tall, skinny tanks. And the fermentation kinetics might be completely different because of the tank shape size and all that sort of thing. Another really interesting thing is water chemistry, right? You might even be in the same neighborhood, right? But the water coming into your brewery, whether it's your pilot brewery or your commercial brewery, is likely to be different, right? Because that's just how a lot of municipal water supplies work around the world, right? I know here in Brisbane, we've got very different water on the south side and the Gold Coast compared to what's on the inner Brisbane north side heading up towards Coolgee and the Sunshine Coast, right? And so, and water, me being a nut for water as I am, right? Your beer is going to change, right? And so these are the things you've got to take into consideration when you go from pilot batch size to commercial size.
Why can't you just do the math using like BeerSmith or Brewfather or one of these software tools and just scale up the ratio? I know you're saying about all these other factors that are coming in, but what are some of these things that don't scale properly, like to just be able to use a tool and go, doodle?
Yeah, like exactly. So like it's really common for a brewer to go, oh, well, I'm scaling from this 50 litre batch size up to this 10 hectolitre or 1,000 litre batch size. I'll just use the scale recipe button in BeerSmith or Brewfather or what's the other one? It's like a BrewTools.
There's a heap of
different
them.
Ones and that sort of thing. And they all have a scale feature, right? And although they are pretty good in what they do, right, the thing that's missing is, again, right, BeerSmith, Brewfather, Brewer's Friend, they're all really good at making a recipe for wort, but not a recipe for beer, okay? And so even though you might scale effectively the recipe for wort, you're not in, as a professional brewer, you're not in the business of selling wort. You're in the business of selling beer, and the whole black box thing starts to come into play. And I call the black box basically, you know, you focus all your effort on brew day and wort production and all that sort of stuff, right? And you do that job really, really well. And then something happens in the middle, and then beer pops out the other end.
Yep.
Now, if your brewery happens to be a black box, right? And the batch of beer passes through that black box, then you're not in control of what's happening in there. And then the outcome of the beer that happens on the other end, right, is going to be an unknown because you're not fully in control of it and that sort of thing, right? And so while I agree that tools like BeerSmith, Brewfather, Brewer's Friend and all that sort of stuff will scale recipes, they scale wort recipes, not beer recipes. And there's so much information missing there.
Yeah, well, if you've done your, like as we've talked about before in a previous episode, like you're true to brand and whatnot already on your pilot batch, then when you're trying to put it into, and you've brewed your big batch now and it's so different, like as you said, those tolerances moving down, like some of them might be, you can't pull them back. Like you'd be sitting there on brew day struggling. Even with the wort, just going, this is not coming back. I can't pull it back and have the same result. I can already tell.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, as soon as you start to change the equipment, that sort of thing that you're brewing on, and it's not just your brew house, it's your fermentation vessels and your packaging equipment and transfers and all that sort of stuff. Like this, you're introducing a lot of variables. And Beersmith, brew father, brewer's friend, can't help you with those things. Right. They're basically a tool that operates on the theoreticals, right? But it takes the skill of a brewer to create the recipe in the right way so that you can manage those changes on the fly.
Right? Yep.
And that's why, as you just said just now, is that we make sure that we set clear quality targets, and that when you don't hit the numbers, that you have set tolerances that you can be within a certain range where everything is okay. And if you're the first time listening to this podcast, created an episode about targets and tolerances. So go check that out. It's a really good listen. And so the thing is, right, is that when you move from pilot brewing to commercial size batches, is that all of a sudden things are going to be different, right? And I 100% guarantee you, when you move from your pilot system to a commercial system, that things are going to work out different. And if you don't have a plan, then how can you replicate that beer that you're trying to create, that you've worked so hard on? And the consequences of not getting it right are huge, right? If you go and make a 50-liter or half-barrel batch of beer on your pilot system, like it's going to cost you $100 or $150 or something like that on raw materials. And if you mess it up, well, cool, all right? There's no financial consequences there and that sort of thing. When you take things to commercial size, the risk factor gets much higher because not only have you invested more money in raw materials, right, first and foremost, but then there's the consequences. Okay, when you scale up a beer recipe and you're doing so on a commercial system, other things like packaging materials, right, come into play, which are very, very expensive. If you're putting beer into cans, the cost of packaging is huge. Right? So it's not just about the liquid anymore.
Yeah. Right?
And then here in Australia, we've got a terrible excise tax system. And so if you go and release that beer into the market, now you've got to pay tax on it. And then that increases the financial risk, right? And then finally is the intangible risks that you have in your relationship with your consumers, okay? So let's say you're currently sitting in you're actively planning a brewery build and you're doing pilot brewing and you go, yep, I'm happy with that recipe. I've got it dialed in. I'm going to go brew that on my brand new brew house. It doesn't turn out the way that you expect it, but you then proceed to go and sell it anyway, and you've just flown open the doors of your brewery, and people are coming to your brewery. People will always go to a brewery once because you're new and no other reason, right?
Yeah.
And if that punter comes through the door and they try the beer that you've scaled up but hasn't turned out the way that you intended it to, and they'll drink the beer and they'll just either go meh or yuck, right? And they won't come back, right? Yeah. Because the thing is, it's really important. You consumers can be bastards sometimes, right? Is you can't impress them from the outset, right? And if you don't, they'll go elsewhere.
Yeah, it's easier to keep a customer than gain a new one. It's expensive.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
It's cheap to keep a customer, but it's really expensive to get them back, exactly. And so that's the key thing there is making sure that what you've worked so hard for in your recipe development translates into exactly what you want when you scale that up to commercial size.
Mm. So you're bringing on this product specification. Why, like what sort of data do you need in that? Like what do you need to have in there, and how much information, how well structured does this need to be?
We should probably explain what a product specification is, I reckon. So a product specification is a tool that we use in the Rockstar Brewer Academy that gives you a way to write a beer recipe in such a way so that it becomes scalable, right? Now, as I said before, if you're using something like Beersmith, Brewfather, Brewer's Friend, right, that's a recipe for work, but not beer, okay? So a product specification does three things, right? So basically, it's a professional approach to beer recipe writing, okay? So it does three things. Firstly, it outlines your raw materials irrespective of the batch size, okay? And I'll swing back around and give more of a description of that shortly. So raw materials, irrespective of batch size, a detailed process of what happens in the cellar, right? So fermentation and maturation and bright beer and all that sort of thing. And then thirdly is a definition of quality. Okay. So raw materials, irrespective of batch size, right? So we get out of, so basically it's done in like an Excel spreadsheet is the template. And there are no formulas, right? It's really simple. The only reason why we use Excel is because it's really good for filling in cells, right? Yep. You can do it in Google Sheets. You can do it in Google Sheets. But even then, doesn't matter. There's no formulas, right? Mm. It's very easy. Brewers are engineers, right? So when they do a spreadsheet, they'll just populate it with all these fucking formulas and complex calculations. Stop that, all right? Because it's overcomplicating something for you, right? Really doesn't take into account everything else with respect to what happens in the glass, right? So raw materials, irrespective of the batch size, means writing things in ratios or percentages, right? So for example, when you're writing malt, for instance, you write it in percentages of the total grist or total amount of fermentables, that sort of thing, right? So 23% of Munich malt here equals 23% of Munich malt over there. Then there's things like the water chemistry. Water chemistry done is stated in parts per million, which is a ratio, right? And then you've got things like your wort, right? So you always have your starting gravity and your starting pH, right? So very things that every brewer is very familiar with and that sort of thing, right? So that's basically your raw materials. Dry hopping is done, for example, in grams per liter or pounds per barrel. Right, whatever you happen to do, bittering contributions done in things like the IBU contribution per charge and when it's done and all this mashing, all that sort of stuff. It's just all these things are just written out in that way, right? And that's raw materials irrespective of the batch size. The second thing is documenting the process. Right, this is the thing that removes the black box. So when you document the process. So for example, what yeast strain are you using? What should your wort temperature be? What are the fermentation kinetics going to be? So you don't just throw wort in the tank and set the temperature and just leave it. You've got maturation steps where you're going to change the temperature during beer production. So it's like, what's the initial temperature supposed to be? When do I raise the temperature for diacetyl rest and then crash chilling and all that sort of stuff? When does the beer get dry hopped and that sort of thing?
Yep.
So documenting the process can be done like this. So basically what you want to do is you want to break down your production process into phases, right? Typical is fermentation, diacetyl rest, crash chill, transfer to bright, release to packaging, all that sort of stuff, right? They're all phases of production. Really good news is most beer follows the same path, right? It's just the variables might change. So within each phase of production, you have actions, which are things that get done to the beer, set the temperature, dry hop, add biofouling, right? It's things you do to the beer, actions. Yep. The next thing is parameters, okay? So I'm going to set the temperature. What should the temperature be? It's going to be 20 degrees Celsius, okay?
Yep.
Or 68F, okay? So that's a parameter. And then the third thing is what's called a go, no-go test. Okay. And a go, no go test is, okay, so let's say I'm at the fermentation phase, been fermenting for a few days. And the question is okay, what needs to happen in order for the beer, for me to go and change the temperature of the beer for a diacetyl rest? Okay. Right there is where we set what's called a go, no go test. Right? Yeah. And so if I'm doing US05 or some sort of American ale yeast ferment, that sort of thing, when the gravity gets to about 10, 20 or 6 Plato or something like that, that's the go-no-go test. So gravity is less than or equal to 10, 20 or 6 Plato, right? And if and then there's actions based on, yes, I've met that condition, or no, I have not met that condition. So it might be, right, gravity's reached 10, 20, cool. The go action is proceed to the next phase, which is the diastereomeric phase, which says go raise the temperature.
Yep.
Or it might be, haven't reached 10, 20. The no-go action is wait, right? So all of a sudden, you've got actions, parameters, and go-no-go tests for each phase of production, and you can actually plan where your beer is going to be at that certain time. Now, this is stuff that beersmith and brewfather and brewer's friend don't do, right?
Yeah.
And this is the difference between a home brewer and a professional brewer, right? And so the third part is a clear definition of quality. And I know we've talked about this on other episodes, and I think we've dedicated a whole episode on this, but I'll give you the brief version again, Adzi, so you don't...
I've got it. Yep.
Poor bastard. And so a professional brewer, right, writes, actually defines what their beer is going to look like. Okay. And there's two lenses with regards to beer quality. There's fit for use and true to brand. So fit for use is anything that you can measure with an instrument. So it's final gravity, final pH, carbonation, alcohol, bitterness, color, haze, right? Anything that you can measure with an instrument. You might not own the instruments. If it's something that can be measured with an instrument that makes a number, that is called fit for use. But then there's true to brand, which is a written worded description of what's the beer supposed to look like, what's the beer supposed to smell like, what's the beer supposed to taste like, and what's the beer supposed to feel like. Now you've got to ask yourself, right? How many times, right, have you scaled a beer recipe or even brewed a beer and not written down beforehand what the beer is supposed to look, smell, taste, and feel like? Happens more often than you think.
Yeah.
And if you don't have these two definitions of quality, when you scale that beer recipe from pilot size to commercial size, you actually have no idea what the end product is going to be. And even if you think that you've achieved the same outcome when you were scaling that beer recipe, right, you actually don't know for certain. And the only thing left, if you don't have a clear definition of quality, is your opinion, right? An opinion and an opinion of beer quality, right, that's for the consumer, right? But as a professional brewer, opinions don't mean shit. Right? Opinions are for the consumer. A professional brewer needs measurable levels of quality. And so that's the key thing that a product specification does.
It's obviously something that's super important. But once the beer's been brewed, like what does a brewer need? Like there's a lot of brewers out there probably just relying on themselves, but they need some feedback loops that aren't just them, right? Like, so what comes back about all of these batch to batches that you're doing? Like when you're brewing a batch and then you brew another one while you've got this product spec, like you're not even got your true to brand that you're trying to develop and all of that sort of stuff. If a brewer is just relying on that, what's going on there? Like how best to get that?
Yeah. So this is why a product specification is so important in the recipe development process, right? In fact, around 40 to 50% of the members of the Rockstar Brewer Academy don't yet have a brewery open, right? They're in that point where they're in the late stages of planning or building, and they're actively doing recipe development because they know that when they fling open the doors of their brewery, that the beer needs to be good.
Yeah.
Right. And so they're doing the hard work now. Okay. So during the recipe development process, that's when you write your product specification, right? And so basically it's giving you a very clear pathway for you to follow on a 50 liter system or half barrel system. And then all you got to do is when you scale up to your commercial size system is follow the same process. Okay. Yes, you're going to transpose that product specification into a brew sheet with kilograms and grams and liters or barrels or pounds and all that sort of stuff. Of course, that's part of the scaling process. Okay. But you're also scaling not just the brew day, but all of the process that goes with it. Now, back to the recipe development side of things, right, is that having a product specification during recipe development means that you can fundamentally get your recipe dialed in, right, before you even head to the big brew house and that sort of thing, okay? You can, and as you're tweaking recipes, and pilot brewing is the place to tweak recipes, okay? You should never be tweaking recipes majorly for paying customers. And so this is the point where if you brew in the same pilot batch of the same beer over and over again, and you've got some people who might be involved in the brewery who want to see what the beers, how the beers, the pilot batches turn out, well, you've got a true to brand description. And amongst your inner sanctum of people who are going to be involved in this brewery, trusted friends, something like that, you can say, here's what I intended for this beer to turn out like.
Yeah.
And then you can give them that pilot batch of beer and you can give them the true to brand description and you can say, have I met that? And it becomes a simple yes or no.
Yep. Right?
A beer is either true to brand or it is not true to brand. And all of a sudden, all of the emotion, right? Because I get it. You put your heart and your soul into your recipe, right? It happens and that's okay. But as a professional brewer, when there's money on the table, right, you have to take the emotion out. Okay. Yeah. You don't, for example, if I take the fit for use number, right? And let's say I'm aiming for a finishing gravity of 1009 or 2 Plato, but it turns out to be 1013 or 2.5 or 3 Plato, right? And my tolerance is only 1 gravity point or 0.2 of a Plato. You don't get emotional about it or put an opinion in, go, oh, that beer's finished at 3 Plato and it should be 2, and go, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. It hasn't hit the number.
Right? Yeah.
But the thing is, because we put our heart and our soul into something that's in our senses, right? You have, by yeah. having a true to brand description, all of a sudden you can say yes or no, this does or does not meet my expectations. And if you've got business partners, right, that you're building a brewery with, you can agree in advance what this beer is going to be like, right? And you remove the argument around, I like this or I don't like this, okay? Yes, a little bit of that is going to come into play, but it makes it more objective. Once you scale up, right, your beer needs to be consistent. So a product specification is a great tool, not only for scaling a beer recipe, but for making sure that it's consistent, right? And your customers crave consistency. They really do. If you're loyal to them with your beer and delivering a consistently good experience, they will be loyal to you and put money in your cash register. And so that's what that, and so when you scale up a beer recipe, it's important, right, that the pilot batch and the commercial size batch, there is going to be some variance because of the pots and pans, right?
Yep.
Use your skill as a professional brewer to control those changes as little as possible. But then once you get that beer out into the market, making sure that it is consistent and consistently good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, as you said about the emotion, because sometimes, like, how many brewers have brewed a beer and it hasn't come out how they want it in their product spec or their mind of where they expected it to land. The customers friggin' love it. And the brewer's like,
oh, yes.
That's not what I wanted, but you just got to stick with it. Yeah.
Exactly. And so this is the thing, right? So when you have when you're doing your recipe development, you scale up to a commercial size and release that beer to the public, to paying customers, right? You're going to have a product specification where you've defined what the beer is supposed to be and how it's supposed to be made, right? And then the beer is going to turn out a certain way, and which might be different to the product specification. So the beer is either going to be different to the product specification, and you're going to go, okay, what do I do? Do I like the liquid? Do I like the beer? And do I change the product specification to be closer to the liquid? Or do I not like the liquid in some way? And I don't like the aroma of it, for instance, right? And I'm going to move the liquid closer to the product specification. So after you scale up and you open your brewery and that sort of thing, it's actually going to be a little bit of both.
Yeah.
And again, this is where the product specification is so powerful, right? I can change my product specification to meet, let's say I had a happy accident, right? Mm-hmm. And the beer's turned out different to what I expected. The punters love it and they're throwing cash at you, right? Yeah. And you're going, yeah, okay, right, this is it. Change the product specification to that liquid, right? And that becomes your gold standard. Or alternatively, you don't like it or some other reason, then you change the liquid to be the product specification and that's what you roll with. But eventually you're going to get to what I call a golden batch, okay? Which is the thing where that's the beer. Okay?
Yeah.
Once you get to that point, then all you got to do is review it annually.
Yeah. Right?
Review your product specification annually because beer is an agricultural product, right? And right. Agricultural stuff is seasonal, right? It so changes. Stuff's going to change. And so all you do is you write your product specification and then you put it away. And then once a year, you make the point of pulling it out because, and then having a look at where your beer is, right? It's okay to tweak recipes, right? Sorry. I've said this before. Don't tweak your recipes, tweak your process, all right? Yeah. It's okay to make tweaks to stuff in order to make incremental improvements, but I would probably say more so tweak your process as opposed to tweaking your recipe, right? Your recipe, right, is already good. Yeah. I guarantee it, right? And I've seen lots. I've seen lots of members of the Rockstar Brewer Academy come along to I do a one-on-one session with them called a launchpad session, and they get really nervous when they're going to share their recipe with me sort of thing. And most of the time I'm just like, this is good beer.
Yeah.
Right. But it's in the execution of how you make it. And after their launchpad session, I'm like, yeah, go brew that beer and I'll see you in a few weeks at your tasting session. So they go brew the beer, right?
Yeah.
Brew it, ferment it, chill it, carbonate it, dry hop it, whatever, and then pour it in a glass. And then they come and see me again for another one-on-one tasting session. And we do a guided tasting of the beer. And so we actually have in front of us when we do the tasting session, the product specification and the fit for use and true to brand. And we run through, did we hit this number? Do we hit this aroma and flavor and appearance and
yep.
body and mouthfeel? And 9% of the time, right, the beer has turned out great and better than they could possibly have imagined. And we've done nothing to tweak the recipe at all. All we've done is we've just, with the product specification, has just created a plan and you just follow the bouncing ball and great beer is inevitable. So yeah. Cool.
Yeah, well, it's that thing. Like a lot of homebrewers probably are quite happy to just, they don't have to worry about tolerances so much. They're like, oh, that's good enough. We'll just, it's not that difficult or a worry. But when you're scaling up, and as you said, there's time and money involved, and like a product spec, it saves you time and money as you're moving forward and scaling up, but even into the future, right? Like it's going to save you
yeah.
time and money.
Yeah, absolutely, right? A product specification is, it's not a beer recipe. It's part of a quality system that a brewery has, right? Mm. When you're a home brewer, you can rely on gut feel and you can tweak a recipe. And you can have happy accidents, and that's okay, because the worst case scenario is that the beer doesn't turn out okay and you put the beer down the drain, or you have your happy accident, turns out really well, and you share it with your mates and you pat each other on the back and have a good time. Great.
Yeah.
Okay. But when you have a happy accident as a professional brewer, right, let's say you have a happy accident, something really good happens with this beer to make it really come alive. Chances are you've not documented what made it that awesome happy yep. accident, and it's you'll never be able to repeat it. And it's gone, right? And so think about that really good batch of IPA that you brewed last October that turned out absolutely amazing. If you haven't documented via a product specification what made that beer so awesome, it's never going to happen again.
Yeah. But
the thing is, you want it to happen again.
Yeah, you want that magic, right?
The magic is in the planning and the system, mate.
Yeah, that's exactly right. For brewers that are working on a new beer, what's the first step that they need to take to ensure that their recipe scale? Is it like in the product spec, what do they need to be writing down? Like how much stuff, like where can they get this information from?
Yeah, so in the Rockstar Brewer Academy, we've got a template, and to learn the skill of writing a product specification, we'll take you, the skill of writing a product specification will take you about 2 to 3 hours. It's not difficult, right? There's one session to work out how to write the raw materials in ratios and percentages, take equipment batch size out of the equation. It's very easy to write a true to brand description. Most homebrewers who are thinking of going pro already have fit for use. They always have, they already have an idea of what's your final gravity going to be, what's your final pH going to be, what's your carbonation going to be, et cetera, right? That's great. You're halfway there, right? But then there's the skill of writing a true to brand description and how to write a wort recipe or a beer recipe and the raw materials irrespective of the batch size. And then a little bit extra to work out, well, what's your plan for the cellar? What's your plan as the beer progresses through the actions parameters and go-no-go tests and all that sort of stuff, right? To fast track that, that's what we do at the Rockstar Brewer Academy. And in fact, when you join the Rockstar Brewer Academy, we put you through the foundation program where you learn the quality system. It's called Beer Quality Bootcamp. And we will fast track this amazing batch of beer. So let's say that you've got a beer that you're working on at the moment. You're planning a brewery build. Your plans are quite advanced, and you're basically about, you might be at the point, the best time to work with a brewer who's planning or building a brewery is when you've got your premises sorted and you've got your plant and equipment on order, right? You place the order and it's being fabricated in China or wherever it happens to be. That's the best time to while you're waiting for your equipment to be fabricated, to start working on your beer quality system for your brewery.
Yeah.
Is to finalize those recipes that you've got. And we just start with one, right? So my promise is that in 60 days, we'll take the beer that you anticipate to be your biggest seller and we will brew the best ever batch of that in just 60 days, right?
Yep.
And it's a way to fast track that knowledge to dial in the last 10% of your beer to get it ready for scale, okay? So we'll plan out this beer, you'll write a product specification for it, we'll do other stuff around CIP, water chemistry, all that sort of stuff, get this beer tasting amazing. You'll come and see me, we'll do a launch pad session. I'm going to go, yep, that's good, or yeah, maybe we'll tweak this. I very rarely comment on recipes, but I'll comment on process.
Yeah.
You then go brew the beer, right? And then you go ferment the beer and then come and pour a beer in a glass, come and see me and we'll do a tasting session together. And I guarantee it's going to be the best batch of that beer that you've ever brewed, right?
Yeah.
And then what you do while you're still waiting for the last of your equipment, or while you're waiting for your equipment to arrive, is you go and apply product specification. You apply that system across all of the beers you intend to have when you are going to open.
Right? Yeah.
That way, think about the massive job that you've got of, if you're going to have 10 different beers on tap in your tap room, think about the job of scaling 10 recipes and just the complexity of scaling one recipe and having it turn out completely different. But imagine multiplying that by 10. Oh my God, that's just so much risk, you know what I mean? So having that, and then once you get to that point, go commission your brew. You're ready to go. And you know that once you go and brew commercial size batches of your first beers before you go and open the door of your brewery, right, that you know that you'll have done your very best using the proven system that those beers, when you open the doors of your brewery, are going to be, that's where you start. It all starts in the pilot brewing side of things. And let's say your brewery is already up and running, right? And you don't have product specifications and you're experiencing consistency issues. Cool. Let's take those current recipes that you've got in your established brewery. We can write product specifications about that. We can brew them. And we've got members of the Rockstar Brewer Academy who've done commercial size batches through Beer Quality Bootcamp. It's about 50-50 split, okay? And let's just make some amazing improvements to the beers that you currently sell.
Yeah.
When you do this right, the measure of your success is not a, is from a business perspective, right? Doesn't matters so much to a brewer. It's money coming into the cash register, right? But for a brewer, you got to think, how proud are you going to be of the beer that you've worked so hard to produce, right? People spend years writing beer recipes and tweaking them and tweaking them and tweaking them, and the waiting between batches, waiting for them to come out and then pouring them and go, oh, it's not quite right, and then having to go through that process again. And you can fast track that.
Yeah.
And that's what we do at the Rockstar, at the Quality Bootcamp at the Rockstar Brewer Academy. It's very cool.
I'm sure too, there's a few people out there that have had some happy accidents that have been keeping notes as well. And they've been able to brew their beer consistently, but they don't have like an official product spec. Like nothing's all written down in the right spots or where it is consistently, that they just know it in their head.
Yes.
And it's just that non-documented process that they've got in their noggin instead of like written down.
Absolutely.
Someone else can walk in and do it, right?
That's the beauty of a product specification, because you've got all these little bits and pieces as a brewer in your mind that you know make that beer great, right? And a product specification, what it does, it gets it out of your head and onto paper, right? And all of a sudden you can start to clearly communicate your expectations, your creation to other people. Might be business partners. It might be your brewing, you might be a head brewer and you might have staff. Right.
Yeah.
It might be, it's also really good for communicating with taproom staff, right? Because a true to brand description, for instance, isn't a tasting note. It's a more scientific or rote way of writing a description of a beer. So we're not trying to sell the beer and get all flowery, going tropical fruit hops from the mosaic and all that sort of stuff. It's just, it's like medium tropical fruit aroma, right? You basically say in very scientific terms what the beer is supposed to be. And if something doesn't go right, well, then you've got a tool to help. The product specification is great because all of a sudden you've got a tool to help diagnose problems, right? Where is this beer not true to brand? Okay, right. So there's too much haze in this beer. Cool. Let's dial in on the haze. And you see, this comes back if you're still in recipe development mode and you've got a product specification, you don't hit the parameters that you said you were going to hit. Well, then tweaking the recipe becomes so much easier and you'll make more rapid improvements to your beer. Super powerful.
And if that education, as you said, has gone through to the staff, like even the staff who are serving the beer, they're tasting it as well. And they'll be like, they can highlight to you, like you might be having an off day, like, Hugh and I both had COVID. I lost my sense of smell and taste, and a lot of people have had to retrain their palates and stuff. So that extra person is powerful to be like, why does this taste a bit different? And you're like, what do you mean it tastes different? Because sometimes it can be like a keg has just happened to get oxidized. There's a problem with the keg. But if they're able to pick that up because they're aware of exactly what it's meant to be, then you're saving yourself more money because you're not selling an oxidized
keg. This is where you take the emotions out of it, right? So, for example, if you're the brewer that poured your heart and soul into a beer recipe and someone came up to you with that beer that you poured your heart and soul into and said, there's something wrong with this, whereas if someone came up to you with a more analytical kind of approach and said, hey, Adzi, I don't think this beer is true to brand for appearance because there seems to be a lot of haze. Now, all of a sudden, as a brewer, you can go, shit, really? Okay, let me investigate and take a scientific approach. Do you see how much quicker incremental improvements to your beer is going to be if you just have that tool at your disposal? It's so powerful. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Mate, this has been a great chat. If people want to learn more, where can they go?
Yeah, look, if you want to have a chat to me, if you want to know more about product specifications and stuff like that, book in a calibration call. It's a 15-minute call. And basically, we'll have a chat. We'll see if we're a good fit, if I can help you or not. If I can't help you, I'll point you in the right direction. If I can help you, I'll let you know next steps. Either way, you win. You'll walk away with some amazing information. And you head to rockstarbrewer.com/calibration. If you're watching on YouTube, there's probably going to be a QR code on the screen and that sort of thing. And come and have a chat. I'd love to meet you. You can also join the Quality Focus Pro Brewers Facebook group. Just head to qualityfocusprobrewers.com. Would love to have you come on and engage in the conversation. And it is for professional brewers only and that sort of thing. Make sure you answer the membership questions. Always a pleasure talking to you.
100%.
I hope you have a good weekend this weekend.
looking forward to it. Hope you enjoy your beers with your mates, and yeah, go Eagles at the Super Bowl.
Too easy, mate. Cheers.
Cheers.